This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. All right there, love.
Hi, Pats. How the bloody hell are you today?
I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah.
Everybody, welcome back to Finding the Funny. If you've never listened before, Ange and I are sisters.
We are indeed.
I am the youngest, although that's questionable as we get into the eps. You'll realise that is questionable.
You'll realise that I am the oldest, but actually the most childish.
Yes, definitely. And we get together for half an hour-ish every week.
Yeah.
It's very silly, very funny, so grab a cuppa or a coffee or a squash, whatever takes your fancy.
Yeah. Put your feet up and just, you know, come along, have a little listen, have a little laugh. And actually, Pats, we've got a guest coming on later, haven't we?
Yes. Oh, yes. We're very excited. We've got Claire Seal, who is on Instagram as My Frugal Year, and we're going to be talking all about money in our Don't Go There section.
Yeah.
So stick around and make sure you listen to that.
I reckon she's going to be bloody great.
Yeah, bloody
brilliant. Great.
Anyway, did you see that picture doing the rounds of a picture of Monge 2?
And I did.
The person had put, "My mum pronounced this man, get out."
Yes.
Which, firstly, why have I never seen that before with Monge 2?
No.
I've never seen man get out.
Never.
But actually,
but is that because,
what it is.
Is that, though, because, like, you know it's Monge 2? So you don't have to read the... Whereas if you've got, like, your mum... I mean, you just got to think about our own mum, right?
Yeah.
She's wandering around the supermarket, doesn't realise that it's Monge 2 because she doesn't really know what Monge 2 is. So she's reading the label, "Man, get out." Yeah.
One of the best ones mum has ever said to me is, we were wandering around Tesco, other supermarkets are available, and she said, "Can you go and get me some of that See Your Betty bread?" And I was like, what? She was like, "You know, that's See Your Betty, you know, the really nice..." I was like, "Mum, what the fucking hell are you chatting on about?" She said, "It's the really nice Italian." I said, "Do you mean ciabatta?" That's the one.
Mum has come out with some classics.
Oh, some classics.
We were holidaying in Spain quite a few years ago now, you know.
Hell yeah, ages
ago. When you could bloody go on bloody holiday. And we were at this restaurant. We sat down and she's like, "Oh, should we have some of that Shangri-La?" We're like... What the hell?
Shangri-La.
You know, that Spanish drink, Shangri-La. You mean sangria, Mum? Yeah, that's the one.
Oh,
yeah.
You bloody know what I mean.
Shangri-La.
Stop it, piss off.
So basically now it's just known as Shangri-La.
Shangri-La. Yeah. Well, it got me thinking so I put up a box on Instagram to ask, and we got loads, but we've picked out some of the top ones.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody put, "My mum once asked for a ganja in Subway instead of a Fanta." I'll have a foot long with tuna and extra cheese and a can of that ganja.
We had another one who said, "My mum joined Insta and then asked why everyone was following her."
I mean, that marks all these people keep asking to follow me.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't even know who they are.
This one came in, my Spanish mother-in-law calls Yorkshire puddings Joshua puddings.
How do you even get Joshua from Yorkshire?
That is brilliant, isn't
Yorkshire.
It?
Yorkshire. Now, this Yorkshire. I do like this one. This is a good one.
This is funny.
"My mum once called a dado rail a dildo rail." Which, you know, maybe she had a dildo rail.
Just hang your dildos up. This is my... You walk into her bedroom and she's like, "So this is the chest of drawers I went for, that headboard, and I opted for this dildo rail." I think it looks...
I've got quite a few and I thought it just means I can quite clearly see which dildo I want to go for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're all just there.
My granddad called a cappuccino a cappuccino.
Which is, I mean, it's right.
Cappuccino.
It's a cappuccino.
Yeah. cup of tea, though.
This is a bit of a weird one, I think.
Yeah.
My mum calls a face tissue a wanky. I mean, like,
wanky.
Does she not know what that word also means?
Maybe not.
A wanky.
On the same vein as that, this person's nan once called profiteroles clitorolls. I love the clitorolls, but can I have it with ice cream instead of cream, please?
I prefer ice cream on the clitorolls.
Yeah, definitely. I'm
it's
an
very,
ice cream
it's
girl
very
when
cooling.
When it comes to clitorolls, I don't want cream, thank
no,
you.
No, I just want a nice cool dollop of vanilla.
This is one of my favourites. My mum calls falafels falafel. Falafel things.
I find that word a bit hard to say, though.
What, falafel?
I have to really think about it before I say it. Because I think I want to say falafel. And it's like, the pronunciation is on the fel. Falafel.
Right.
No, falafel.
Falafel.
Falafel. I want to say falafel. I do have to really think about that word when I say it.
Anyway, we thought that was just a bit of fun, didn't we, to open the show?
Would you know what we thought, Pats? We thought, do you know what? That's a bit of fun.
Fuck you! You're such a condescending, piss-taking bitch. It's unreal.
That's a bit of fun, that. We'll pop that in there.
Anyway.
Let's do...
Shall we?
Le Big Question.
So we had a big question come in from Lindsay on Facebook, and she's asked, what set of items could you buy that would make the cashier most uncomfortable?
I mean, there's a realm of shit you could get.
I mean, what do you think, though, would really...
I was thinking lube and a cucumber. Like,
just
that's all you
had.
Just literally went home. A conveyor belt, cucumber, and like a really big, girthy computer, I think he said.
Or lube and a computer. I mean, relatively weird.
Yeah, big, girthy lube. Cucumber and just a thing of lube. That's it.
What do you think the conversation would be?
Oh, you're in for a fun time.
As they scan it through, got much planned this weekend? No, not really. No, not a lot. Just, you know, adhering to the lockdown social distancing rules. So
I'm just having a bit of me time.
Because I can't go anywhere or meet anyone.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's getting a bit depressing now. Yeah, so hence the lube and the cucumber.
I thought I'll just pop to the supermarket and give me a bit of something to do this afternoon.
That is a good one, actually.
Yeah, lube and a cucumber.
Just those two things.
Yeah. I think that's... Yeah, if you're going to do that, you've literally just got to go. You can't be going, I'll get my lube and my cucumber and I'll chuck a loaf of bread and a pint of milk in there. Because that just kind of takes away from the lube and the cucumber.
Also, just the awkwardness as you're stood waiting. A person in front of you. No, just those two things. Yeah, you can put the till divider down. Well, it's just, I'm just getting those two things.
This is quite a few years ago now. I did like a little gift bag for a friend of mine who'd recently had a baby.
Right.
I thought I'll get her a little bag of you know, things that will be nice goodies for her, but also very practical. I was trying to think across that spectrum. And it wasn't until I came to pay for it all that I did think,
oh gosh,
she's going to think, what the hell is this woman buying? Because I had in there some lube. I put lube in. I put nipple
lube
in.
Well, cause you put lube in?
Well, because sometimes you can be a bit dry. You can. You know, you can go. So I was thinking, you know, just to help with that, bit of lube, put some nipple
cream.
They're
not going to be wanting to have sex just after they've had a baby, are they?
No, but I was just still thinking for the, you know, I was thinking, right, what does the next 3 months look for this friend of mine? What does it look like?
Right.
So, yeah, she might not be wanting to go for a quick one a week later, but, you know, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks down the line.
Oh, right.
She might
okay
be feeling a bit fresh. But a bit dry.
Oh my hilarious. This is absolutely fucking hilarious.
I did. So I put lube, nipple cream.
Yeah.
Sore nips. Yeah. Condoms.
Yeah.
A bottle of vodka. cigars. I got some cigars. what else? Some sanitary towels. Some big old birthers in there.
Yeah.
What else did I put in?
Did you put anything in to mix the vodka with, or was it just like you drink it neat?
Neat. Just neat. So, that's it.
Basically, what you need to do is get down the vodka,
get
the lube on, and jump on.
Yeah. Bob's your uncle.
You'll be good to go.
Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt.
That is so funny. So that cashier must have been thinking. Yeah.
And I think I actually even said, oh, this is, I've just put this together for it. You know, you just feel like I've got to explain this. Yeah, I've got to explain this random selection of stuff that I'm buying.
I bet she was going, you're going for a sex party. you've got a load of people coming round your house for a massive, massive sex party. Yeah. There's no way this is that old chestnut. My friend's just had a baby.
So I have sort of been there once with the whole random shit at the supermarket.
Well, look, get in touch with us if you've had an awkward moment like Ange has. Yeah. At the cashier, at the till, what's the most uncomfortable you felt buying things? So there's loads of ways you can find us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. And you can find us on Facebook, search Finding the Funny Podcast. And you can also send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com. So we had this. This is a great dickish behaviour. Now we are keeping this person anonymous, but it was a message we received from someone on the gram, and she says, so it might just be me, but checking messages immediately after sex, it's not just dickish, it's downright rude.
I agree.
I don't have a problem with that.
What, you're just a finished rollover, check my messages?
I am a bit blokey with that shit.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I'm not...
I am a
lovey, cuddly, we've just had great sex, let's have a great cuddle. I'm like, great, we had a great time, let's move on.
Ian, oh God, Ian is so lucky. Ian has hit the fucking nurturing jackpot with you. You're like, yeah, great, brilliant. I once said to Matthew... Oh God, I don't know whether to say this. I've got to remember that this just isn't you and I talking, but it, like, we do actually have people that join us in this conversation. Fuck it. I've said worse, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
When Matthew and I were right in the height of our, like, trying to conceive, I'll tell you, sex becomes a fucking nightmare. It just becomes shit. Because it's like, here we go.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm ripe. Get in.
Yeah, it was basically one of those days. I was like, Matthew, we've got to have sex. I don't. And Matthew just wasn't feeling it. Like, he was just like, oh God. He was like, I really love having sex with you, but I just, like, God, it's like a military operation. Yeah. I was like, I don't care. We've got to anyway. He really, really wasn't feeling it. And halfway through, I just said, oh God, come on, Matthew. All you've got to do is blow your beans at me. And that finished it off. That was the end of it. It just killed it. It was like, fucking, he was like, what the fuck did you just say? And I said, oh God, he said, that's it, it's over. And that was one heartbeat gone from that sentence.
I can't believe you said that.
I think I was so like, it's got to happen, it's got to happen today. I don't really know what came over me, but I tell you, that is the killer. Yeah. That is the instant killer of any. Sexy time.
Especially if you're not in the mood anyway.
And he absolutely wasn't. No. I mean, I wasn't either, really. We were in that stage of, like, it doesn't matter.
You just got to do it whenever the time is there, you've got to do it regardless.
Yeah, you've got to.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm a sort of, I'm not like a cuddle for ages sort of person. I'm not a, like... The funny thing that once happened from Matthew and I, which we still talk about quite a lot, we used to live in a flat where we had to put parking on the car, and it was a Saturday morning and we were getting jiggy, and halfway through he just went, oh my God, I've not put any parking on the car. And literally got up, put his trousers on, was down the stairs and out the door. Oh God. And he came back and I was like, what, mate? He was like, I don't know where my head was, but I was like, shit, we're gonna get a parking
ticket. I don't know where my head was, but it wasn't where it should have been.
No, I was thinking about the parking. Yeah. I'm a bit of a cuddler, but I do think it is rude to just like straight after be like, yeah, great, brilliant session, thanks very much, wham bam, thank you, ma'am, done.
I don't know, like, what else do you want after that?
A cuddle. I wish people could see you, because Angie's basically just like shaking her head and shrugging her shoulders as if to say, don't be so fucking needy, man.
And I know, as we have discussed before, I think I am just a bit blokey with that shit.
A bit blokey.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I think I am more male in that way.
Do you ever think after sex, God, I wonder what it's like to light up a cigarette?
Yes.
That's the only time I would ever think.
Yeah. And I think that is the same sort of, it's like that, it is that kind of going, we've had a great time there, and now I'm going to chill the fuck out. And it's that sort of that fag thing, I totally can see why people do that at that point. But I think you kind of, your phone has become the substitute for a fag.
For a fag.
Yeah. We've had a great time there. It's been brilliant. Now I'm going to have a look on my phone and see what other people are up to.
Yeah. So our don't go there subject this week is money, as that was something a lot of you said you'd love to hear Ange and I discuss. We are so grateful that Claire is joining us for this chat today. Claire set up her Instagram account, My Frugal Year, 2 years ago, and although the account was anonymous at the time, she was incredibly honest about the fact that she was in £27,000 worth of debt. Now, 2 years on, that debt is almost completely cleared, and she has used her ever-growing social media platform to document this achievement. Claire is an author. You can check out her latest book, Real Life Money. She's a speaker and a writer, and she is currently the resident Money Matters writer for Glamour magazine, and has recently started the Financial Wellbeing Forum, which you can also find on Instagram. Claire, we are so delighted that you're here. Welcome to Finding the Funny.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me. The pleasure is all mine.
Well, we are so grateful that you've come on, Claire, especially because this is such a tricky subject to talk about, and I think people generally don't want to talk about it. And so when people kept sort of saying, well, we'd really like you to tackle this subject, we thought, well, we need to have someone on who knows what they're talking about, who's kind of been there and experienced what actually I think lots of people experience throughout their life. We are very, very happy that you've come on to talk about this with us.
So one of the questions that we had, I put out a little box to see if anybody had any questions for you. And this one came up, I thought was a really interesting topic. And it's about, Nicola asked that she'd love there to be a conversation about removing shame from debt. So like, how do we start that conversation? Because it is such a shameful thing, isn't it, when you admit that you're in debt?
I think there is a big taboo on talking about it, but actually loads and loads of people are experiencing it, or different levels of it. You know, I had five figures worth of debt at one point. Lots of people won't have that, but I think I felt ashamed of it from when it was like a few hundred pounds. And I think that shame is probably the biggest barrier in people actually addressing it and getting help when they need it. And then it just spirals and spirals, and you know, the debt gets worse, the shame gets worse. And then I'd come to this like real breaking point in my relationship with money, and I felt so ashamed. And especially because I'm quite good at maths, And I knew that I was bright, and I knew that I was like managing responsibility really well in other areas of my life. I was good at my job. I was, you know, successfully looking after two small children, one of whom was still a baby. There's two sides to it. So there's like the internal shame that we feel, but there's also like an absolute shitload of judgment out there, you know. And since, I mean, I was anonymous for a year for that sort of reason, and then I started talking as myself. And, you know, on pieces that I wrote or every time I went on the radio, there was always somebody saying, you know, that people with debt are a selfish half-wit. That was a nice one from Times Radio. You know, oh, you just spend less than you earn. It's not that hard. But, you know, it's so much more complex than that. And I think a lot of people have like a legitimate reason for not speaking about it, because there will be someone who comes back and says stuff like that. So I kind of made it a bit of a mission of mine to challenge people with those viewpoints and just be like, well, you know, I'm neither a half-wit nor selfish. And I had loads of debt. You know, I think there's a responsibility from, you know, people to be a bit more honest, to kind of help debunk that shame. But I think for, you know, if you're working on shame, money shame or debt shame yourself, trying to do the kind of internal work, the first thing is change your language. Stop saying I'm in debt. Start saying I have debt.
Hey, that is really good.
Totally switches how that's out and how you hear it.
It just reframes it as it from like being at the bottom of this very deep hole and feeling like it's totally insurmountable to just it being a problem that you need to solve. The second thing I'd say is talk to someone about it. So you might have somebody that you... someone in your life that you trust, but if you don't, then there are great charities like Step Change and Christians Against Poverty where you can call and talk to somebody who's not going to judge you, who's going to give you, you know, solid impartial guidance. You know, and those services are there for everybody. And yeah, just I think the last thing is, you know, when you, especially if you have a significant amount of debt, can feel like it's impossible, it's going to be impossible, but it might take a while, but just remember that like that time's going to pass anyway. It's taken us 2 years to get to where we are now, and it 2 years sounds like a really long time, but that time passed anyway. And there was genuinely a day where I just woke up and felt like a massive weight had lifted off my shoulders, sort of at some point last year. And I think that, you know, that's the key, is to just try and shift your focus a little bit, because it can be so easy to just get stuck in that kind of cycle of like self-loathing when it comes to money.
Was there a kind of a lead up to that point of going, okay, this is now something I've really got to deal with? Or was it literally, was it a gradual sort of, I don't know, realisation of the situation you were in? Like, how did you get to that point of going, okay, we now need to sort this out?
It was sort of both. So the kind of factors leading into MAP was I had been on maternity leave with my second baby. I found out that I was pregnant the day that we got back from our honeymoon. So we had just spent loads on our wedding, most of which was like credit funded because of some circumstances before that. So we'd already paid deposits and stuff. And then my husband lost his job. So then we had to decide whether we were going to lose all our deposits or carry on. And it, so, you know, again, I think when people hear the figure 27 grand, they're like, well, I would never take out that amount of debt. And I never would have in one go. But it's kind of, you know, it's the panics and deadlines and things like that that lead you to do it kind of in bits and pieces. But so I'd been, we'd we'd kind of taken that out with the idea of paying it off. Then our second baby came along a bit sooner than anticipated. Oh. And I took leave. Then I went back to work and my husband took leave. But he was the bigger earner. Mm. And I wasn't given a promised pay rise for going back to work early. So that was kind of all of the factors leading into, and also while I was on maternity leave, I had a like dreadful sort of emotional spending problem, just bits and pieces here and there. And once you've kind of opened the floodgates on credit cards, it's easy to just stick like a bit here and a bit there. You don't see how it adds up. Then for sort of a good 6 months, things were getting more and more difficult, kind of was getting more difficult to meet the minimum repayments. So I got to the middle of the month, this is March 2019, and I was in an unarranged overdraft, which is like the bad one where you used to get charged a daily fee. I think I've changed it slightly now, so you just pay like a whacking great interest rate on the whole thing. Which is nice.
Not as helpful.
And so my bank phoned me and I was like waiting for the phone call. And the advisor asked me when I'd be able to sort of rectify things. And I said it was going to be the end of the month. This is like the 14th. And she asked me why. And I just heard myself say, there's just no money left. And then afterwards, she was really nice to me, and she like refunded some bank charges, which meant that I came back just about within my limit. And then I came off the phone, and I think I sort of realized I'd come to like this was like something had to give. But also she had helped me, so I think it sort of made me feel like it was possible to change things and to turn things around, and that actually maybe I communicating with the bank wasn't like the worst thing that I could do. So I started, I got everything out on the table, like added everything up, which was terrifying. And then I started an Instagram account for whatever reason. I think I just felt like I couldn't hold it all like inside myself. So I had to sort of find somewhere else to channel it. And like started the process of sort of sifting through the money stuff, but all of the other stuff, like I think a lot of us see money as something that's in isolation, but actually it's got its little tendrils into every area of our life. So, you know, and also it's affected by things from our past, like our upbringing or like trauma that we might have experienced. So I think it's, you know, it's way more complicated than anyone gives it credit for, definitely.
I think that's really interesting as well. I'll never forget a time in mine and Matthew's life where he had just been paid, and 2 days later we got a text message from the bank saying you're over your overdraft, and he'd only been paid 2 days before. And I remember thinking, what the hell are we going to do? Like, 2 days previously Matthew had been paid and we were already in this position. And I just remember saying to Matthew, we've got to do something, like, something. I don't know where we start. And we definitely didn't approach it as well as you did. We definitely, you know, I wasn't as intentional, and there continued to be moments of very hairy financial kind of stuff. But there's when the bottom falls out of your world and you get those quite frankly horrible alerts from your bank where you think shit, you're right, it sort of, money does go into every area of your life, doesn't it? It's not just money. It seeps into everything.
It affects all of your decisions. It affects your decisions about, you know, it can limit your options if you're in a job that you hate, for instance, or if you're in a really bad relationship. You know, it affects whether or not people choose to have children, whether or not people can afford to have children, you know, it's huge. And it's like,
just on that, what are you, like, obviously you've said that you've got children, and what are you teaching your children about money, because I think that's a really big one. Like our mum is an identical twin, right? And our cousins, Nikki and Lee, are really good with money because their parents, you know, made them. If they got birthday money, they had to save half and they could spend half. Our parents didn't probably instill that money health into us. And it's been a bit of a different story. And I would say our cousins, Nikki and Lee, are like really can be quite good with money, and perhaps we're not as good. What do you think about teaching children, if you're parents, about money?
So I read somewhere that all of your money, your attitude towards money is solidified by the time you're 7 years old. I've got two boys, and obviously they're not going to be affected by the gender pay gap because they're both men, and they're not going to be affected by the race pay gap because they're both white. But still, it feels important to instill some good habits in them. So our six-year-old, who's our eldest, we have like a Go Henry app for him. So it's really good because the first thing it does is we can set him tasks. So he has a weekly allowance, but if he completes tasks like getting himself ready for school every morning, making sure his room is tidied at the weekends, he can earn a little bit more. So it kind of it instills that like working for your money thing in them quite young. And then they can make that money available to either spend on their little card or save it. So there's that element.
Are there kind of any tools you would recommend to use when you are trying to budget? You know, whether it is just a regular kind of monthly budgeting for your household, or, okay, we've got some debt here and there are some tools that we could use to help us kind of work on that and keep a track of it.
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing that I would do is to do like a household budget, because I think there's a bit of important work that goes in like reframing your budget a bit, because I think a lot of people think of budgets as being like this boring thing that's there to tell them they can't afford things and to say no to them. But actually, I really see budgeting as like a very important part of self-care now. But you know, just make it a bit of a ritual. But in terms of other tools that you can get, so that there are loads of them, and that there are more coming all the time. And I think it's about trying a few and seeing which one works for you. So at the moment, there's Emma, which is a very sort of like cheeky chappy type app that will be like, you know, hello, you've spent this much on like Starbucks in your lifetime, and it'll be some like terrifying figure. But it helps you to kind of track your spending, and it'll categorize things for you. You just link it to your bank account via Open Banking, which is some software that allows them only to get certain bits of information, so it's very safe. And then similarly, there's like Yolt and Money Dashboard I used for a while. And then there are some quite exciting ones coming out, actually. There's a real boom in like fintech startups at the moment. So there's Claro, which is going to be like a money app. So all of that like budgeting stuff and saving and investing, but it will have like a coaching tool on there as well. So you have access to a money coach, certified money coach, which I'm very excited about. Because I think it's one thing having all the tools, but it's another thing having someone to sort of give you guidance on how to use them. And then there's also Ikigai, which is like similar, but whenever you transfer anything in or get paid, it gives you the option to kind of, as it's coming in, to split it between spending, saving and investing, which I think is great because there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest that we value something more when we have it. So it's quite hard to like make the decision to move money from your spending account to your savings.
Yeah.
Whereas if it just automatically goes in there, then it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
So there are loads of things. And I think it's just really important to remember that personal finance is really personal, and what works for one person won't work for another person.
Sure.
So shop around. There's loads out there.
Mm-hmm.
You touched a little bit on this about like sort of the understanding that self-care has to be like, you know, kind of money led. Somebody asked about overspending, and the sort of question was, I can't stop buying stuff on Cult Beauty, and I don't really know why. So what would your sort of your tips or thoughts be around that kind of emotional trigger with spending, really?
So this is one of like the really big hurdles that you have to overcome to get to any sort of sense of financial well-being. And actually it's like impossible to live with a budget if you are kind of a bit like beholden to your emotions when it comes to spending. And like this is something that I have had to do a ton of work on, because like when I was growing up, you know, if there was like a bad day, we would go shopping. So, you know, it's always a bit of a crutch for me, but I think it's just exploded during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I spoke to a psychologist for an article that I wrote, and she made the very good point that actually all of our other coping mechanisms have completely gone to shit. You know, we can't go for a coffee with our friends. Yeah. We can't like go to the gym. You know, anything that you might want to do, all you can do is go for a fucking walk, and we're all sick of that now.
Basically.
So,
Spot on. Yeah.
So really, walks. I know. I didn't even like them in the first place, but I don't.
Me either. I didn't even fucking like walking in the beginning. Now I hate it even more.
Yeah. Actually, at the moment, one of the few like hits of dopamine that's available to us, or one of the few coping mechanisms that's available to us, is ordering something online and then waiting for it to arrive. Yeah. Like, that's the highlight of our week. So it's really, really easy to fall into a cycle of emotional spending or mindless spending. And it's something that everybody I've spoken to has battled with in some sense. There are some really good tactics to try and sort of curb it a little bit. The first one is give yourself time. So that, I mean, that's your biggest, time is your biggest ally in the kind of battle against emotional spending, because everything to do with e-commerce and online retail, which has obviously exploded while shops have been closed, but everything is geared towards getting you through the checkout in as little time as possible, as few clicks as possible. Give yourself at least 24 hours, if not a good couple of days, to decide whether you actually want it. Stick it on a list. Like, I have a running list of things that I want, and sometimes I'll look back in a couple of weeks and be like, I have no idea why the fuck I want to know it all. So give yourself a bit of time. If you're like shopping online or browsing online, there are some questions that you can ask yourself, which are sort of like circuit breaker questions. So sometimes I describe emotional spending as a bit of a cycle whereby you like feel a bit shit. So you start shopping, you buy something, you realize like it's cost you loads of money, you don't even like it. Then you feel even more shit, and then you want to shop again. So, but that can make it feel like really inevitable. So if you try and see it as a bit of a circuit, you can put in these circuit breaker questions. So if you start shopping, you know, the first thing that you can ask yourself before you even open your browser is sort of like, am I in the right frame of mind for this? Or am I just trying to fill like a void because I'm like pissed off at my husband, or I've had a bad day at work, or whatever. And then as you're browsing, so this is another quite interesting thing about our brains, is that like our brains are geared towards wanting to complete things. You can try as hard as you want. You can't complete ASOS. and you can't complete Amazon. So the only way to get that sense of completion is to buy something. So if you're like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, sometimes you get so overwhelmed that you just buy something to make it stop. So check in with yourself to see if you're finding it overwhelming, and actually you can train yourself to get that same sense of completion from just clicking like X on the tab as opposed to checking out. But afterwards, if it arrives and you hate it, send it back. There's so many people sort of have this mindset that once it's arrived, even if you really regret it and you hate it, that's it. Yeah. That's your punishment for overspending. Yeah. But actually, usually you can send it back and get your money back, or at least most of it. So there are some new habits that you can try and build, and it takes a while to sort of remove that as a crutch.
Progress, not perfection, I believe, is one of the current sort of good sort of sayings.
Oh, well done.
You know, I can come out with some gems every now and then. I mean,
very honest.
Progress, not perfection, I believe, is, you know, I think that's what we're trying to say here, guys.
Claire, thank you so much for like giving us some of your time. I know that like I have really found all of that fascinating, genuinely. I there's some real things. The whole thing you're saying about the circuit breakers, I am definitely an emotional spender. That hit of dopamine is definitely something that I look for within, you know, the spending cycle of I've bought it, I've got to wait for it to arrive, I've got the notification that it's been dispatched. Like, you know, I definitely know that there's some things I can take away. So I know that whoever is listening will have definitely taken some pearls of wisdom. Don't forget you can find Claire on Instagram, both the Financial Wellbeing Forum and also her social media platform, My Frugal Year. You can read her book, Real Life Money, and you can find her in Glamour magazine talking all things money as well. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
We've loved it. Thank you. Well, thanks so much for listening. We hope that you found the chat with Claire really helpful. You can find her on Instagram, My Frugal Year. You can find both Ange and I also on Instagram. I'm Ruth Corden.
And I'm at Ange Corden. And you can also find us on Facebook, search Finding the Funny Podcast. Or you can send us an email, hello@ruthcorden.com.
But we'll be back right here next week, helping you to find more of the funny.